Welcome to GeekCast with your host, Todd Newton.
For the uninitiated, Catherine, how was the group initially formed?
So basically, Sylvain is my personal solo project. It's basically a band that was created in, I would say, late 2013, after I had like spent several years playing in different kinds of projects, both in bands and in, like, vocal groups and stuff like that. And they always ended up kind of going in a direction that I really personally didn't feel so much, which is totally not a problem. It's just that I didn't feel like I could bring my kind of like very personal emotions and stuff into those projects. So in 2013, I thought I would try to start my own thing, although I wasn't really convinced that I could do it because I never really had the best like self-confidence for music. But back then I decided that if I want to make something that's going to be really personal and I'm going to bring all these very things that I haven't really spoken about to anyone, I should try to do it on my own. And that is basically how Sylvain was formed.
At what point did you realize you were going to be playing all the instruments?
Well, when I first started making the music, I kind of, at that time, I had just like picked up the guitar maybe a few months prior to me starting to actually write the songs for the record, my first record, that is. And I kind of realized that even though I'm not like, I wouldn't say I'm like technically really great at any of the instruments I play, to be honest, except for perhaps vocals are a little bit better. I realized that I had enough to be able to express my emotions and express what I wanted to and needed to, meaning that I felt that I would give it a go because I really wanted to keep the project 100% personal. And I figured the best way to do that would be to try to do the instruments myself, just because it would be basically 100% me, even though it sounds like really egocentric and stuff. I felt that that would be the best way to at least try to move forward with Sylvain.
What can you tell us about your debut? I know that's a record that doesn't get the attention it deserves on account of it being self-released initially.
Well, thank you. That's very nice, first of all. Basically, it was a record that I think it was a result of like several years. It was songs that were written over several years. Like the first song of that record was written when I was maybe 17 or 18. So it sounds a little bit more scattered in a way because it basically is a result of several years of work. And at the time, I didn't know it would be for my first record. So it's not as focused as the Wistful or Adam's Line Coming Undone, the second and third record. But I think it's very spontaneous. I think it was basically a part of my journey finding what I wanted Sylvain to be, because I kind of had I had a specific idea of how I wanted it to sound, and that record, because I recorded it entirely by myself without really knowing what I was doing, I just kind of experimented. It was basically like a journey to find Sylvain, to find my thing. And that's why this record kind of stands out a little bit from the rest, because it's the first, and it's basically the first steps towards that new path of my musical journey.
Is there a chance that that's going to be re-released at any point, perhaps even through Season of Mist?
I have thought about it several times, and also because, you know, it's a self-release, I'm going to the post office every week, dropping off CDs and vinyls and stuff, and I kind of love having the full control of this release, in the sense that I can like send out things and, you know, include little notes to the fans that buy the records and everything like that. It's really keeps things like really personal, and that's a cool thing. But I would really like to have it released again at some point, and was hoping that this will happen maybe after the next record with Season of Mist or something like this.
What inspired the title Adam's Aligned Coming Undone?
So for Adam's Line Coming Undone, I usually, in Sylvain, I'm usually speaking about my personal experience with life here in this place. And I kind of created Sylvain also out of a need to express this sort of like hole or gap I felt that I had inside me, and just kind of longing for something without really knowing why, what, where, who. It was really weird. I felt like, oh, something was always like kind of missing in a way. And I suppose a lot of people feel like that as well. So basically, on Adam's Line, Coming Undone, I also spoke about this concept that the feeling I have of basically the soul being a separate entity and the human body being kind of like the vehicle that the soul is controlling while we're in this place, and how being in the human body separates us from what we in our origins are. So Adam's Line, Coming Undone, it refers to basically being trapped inside this material matter, when we're here on this planet, as well as it was also inspired by outer concerns for once, which is not something I'm usually talking about, but I feel things have gone so far south in society that I just couldn't help but put comments a little bit in my music as well. So it also refers to the feeling of kind of like this innocent bystander that's watching something from the outside and seeing things fall apart piece by piece without being able to do a single thing about it, like just watching things unravel, referring to human society basically destroying itself piece by piece.
That's a very heavy concept.
Yeah, it's not super optimistic and bright. Yeah, I love it.
How would you describe Adam's Line, Coming Undone being different from Wistful? What are the big differences to you?
Well, the one difference is what I just described, the fact that I for once actually took kind of like outside inspiration, because Sylvain functions so much like an audio diary for me. Like for many, many other artists, they use it as like a catharsis to express things that they just can't put into words or they can't deal with on a daily basis. And Sylvain is no different for me. But on that record, I also had this outer influence, which was kind of new to me. Except for this, I think the overall expression of the record, it's more focused in a way. I mean, I'm not the one to say that it's more mature, because I'm not supposed to like really say that about my own music, but I think it's I had such a clear vision of what I wanted for everything, from the artwork to the music to the sound to the master to the video. You know, everything was just very clear to me. So which probably is thanks to the process of releasing Wistful, because that was I kind of consider Wistful to be the first record that had the kind of real Sylvain sound for me, since the first one was more of like a discovering myself kind of thing. So that would be probably the main difference between the two. I also went deeper into the sound landscapes on the Adam's Line, Coming Undone, really trying to drive those extreme opposites further. So like even having more harsher parts, harder parts, darker parts, but at the same time having more uplifting parts, more melodic parts, more atmospheric parts, and like mixing everything into this like big sound landscape, basically.
Now, as far as the atmospheric portions of your music, do you feel that the ambient post-metal description is fair?
Yeah, you know, I'm not probably the best person when it comes to like genre tags, because I always found genre tags to be a little bit, you know, like obsolete in a way. They're a bit, I mean, I get that when you're just like, for example, at a party and you're speaking about music, it can be handy to put genre tags on bands and stuff, but I think it doesn't really matter so much to me. So if people feel that that's something that fits my music, I'm totally fine with that. I can see why they would, like, I don't think it's wrong. So yeah, sure, it works.
Now, you've been nominated for the Norwegian version of the Grammy in the category metal, and you are the first woman to be nominated in that category. How does that make you feel?
I was really surprised to learn that I'd been nominated for the Norwegian Grammy Awards, because I'm still really, really unknown here in Norway. Like, I didn't have a whole lot of feedback from the Norwegian market yet, and or the audience here. So I was so incredibly honored when they decided that my record should be put up there with a few other bands that have been around for so long. And then on top of it, it turns out that I'm the first ever woman nominated in this category since it was added to the awards in 2001. And before that, they had another category called Hard Rock, and there were no women nominated in that either. So it's actually writing some like Norwegian music history, which for me is just totally surreal. And I'm super, super grateful for that. I think it's super cool that there's more of a balance in this part of the awards this year, bringing a bit of the female aspect to this prize, because obviously metal has a tendency to be quite male dominated, or at least people seem to perceive that it is mainly guys doing it, which is not really the case. So I think it's really cool that that I can be the first one to represent us, if I can say that.
Musically, what are your influences? When I listen to the new record in particular, I hear a lot of different things happening.
Yeah, I as a music listener myself, I'm really, really open. I can listen to everything from, like, you know, Philip Glass is a huge inspiration for me. I love minimalism and the way they, like, you know, treat things, develop tiny patterns over time. Always found that super fascinating. It's something I try to do in my own music as well. So I can listen to anything from that to, like, Run the Jewels, or, you know, my favorite band is Type O Negative. They've been a huge influence on me. Like, they were the band that really opened my eyes to this kind of opposing forces and, like, the balance between two opposites, because they also did this kind of very slow, heavy, dark music, but it was so incredibly beautiful and so lush. And they also used this kind of, had this, like, dark sense of humor in all of it. And that's a band that just has stuck with me, and I think they're always going to be one of my absolute favorite bands that I come back to over and over again, always falling in love with October Rust every year. It seems to happen. So that's definitely one of the bands that I would say have influenced me the most. I also really, really love the British scene from approximately from the 70s up until the 90s, you know, all the, like, post-punk, the dream pop stuff, the shoegaze, of course. I mean, bands like Slowdive have been incredibly important to me as well, or Cocteau Twins, or The Cure. Also really love the American grunge scene, obviously. Like, I mean, it's kind of cliche to say, like, Nirvana, I guess, but, like, that band is just absolutely mind-blowing. So, yeah, there's a lot of things. Also really love the old soul scenes, you know, with, like, Motown and Stax and all these great people that were part of these labels and stuff. So a little bit of everything, but probably the band that has directly influenced me the most would be Type O Negative.
Now, as far as Adam's Aligned coming undone is concerned, what are your touring plans?
Yeah, our touring plans for this year are basically, we just have, like, a few little minor things going on, and then we're going to do, we're working on one or two, like, European tours at the end of the year. Then next year, in 2020, we hope to tour more extensively, and we're really working hard to get over to North America, because we keep getting requests to come there. And seeing as, well, at least I'm actually born in California myself, so it would be really, really cool to come over and play and, you know, like, visit a little bit more, since I haven't visited the U.S. too much. So, yeah, that's basically the plans, just getting out there. We don't have, like, a whole bunch of stuff planned out for now, but we're working quite hard behind the scenes to make things happen for this summer, the end of the year, and also next year.
When you do go out on tour for this eventually, what type of set list will you be working with? Will you be trying to represent the entire length of your discography?
That was the original plan, but because the challenge that I think a lot of bands in my situation that have, like, a lot of long tracks and stuff have is that you can't actually play that much, because when you have, like, 45 minutes, an hour, you know, you can only play, like, you know, 6 or 8 songs. So what we've done with the show so far is we've been playing kind of half and half songs from Adam's Aligned and Wistful. And then we've also added in one or two tracks from the first one, just to, you know, like, because they were the ones that started everything. So I feel a bit sad, like, not to have any of them included in the set. So I try to keep little pieces from all the albums, but it's been mainly second and third record, because those songs seem to naturally flow together too and make for a really nice dynamic within our set.
Stay tuned for more Geekcasts from www.bigmusicgeek.com.